Hello, everybody. Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. And coming up on today's show, the Padres made some serious moves ahead of yesterday's trade deadline. How much did their moves shift the odds? Plus, after news of Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension, Sportsbook have finally opened up the Browns season win total, and it might not be what you think. We'll preview the AFC North and the updated odds. And of course, we will give you our Mox Locks of the day. But first things first, let's bring in Kenny Betts Big. Kenny, how's it going this week?
Not too bad. I see you're out back in the home state of California. How's that going?
I am. I'm back in the home state of California. I've switched up for anyone watching. I switched up the background. I was in a dungeon of the guest room on Monday's show. So now I'm in the kitchen. My parents' house doesn't exactly lend itself to great backgrounds for podcasting, but it's great. We have my niece with me who's 3 years old and she is a bruiser. So I am exhausted. I love spending time with her, but you know, kids are a lot. I don't have any yet. So she's been fun, but a lot.
That's what I was going to say. It looks like you're having yourself a time out there. You were at the zoo, I saw. Then you were playing, what was that, Snow White you were dressed up as?
I was dressed up as Snow White, yes. I do whatever the niece asked me to do. So she wanted to play princesses. She was some kind of fairy unicorn princess. And I don't know why my mom had this like adult size Snow White costume. So that became me. So we were running around playing that. Yesterday we went to this place called SeaQuest that was kind of like a lower end zoo, I guess you could say, but you could feed different animals. So she had fun. But the problem is we had promised her that she was going to see a mermaid because on the website, there's a mermaid. And lo and behold, the mermaid only comes on Saturdays. So we had to tell her that the mermaid was sick and couldn't come to work today, but hopefully she will be back the next time. And then today we're getting our nails done. We're going to the pool. And then on Thursday, we're going to Great America, which is you know, I think there's one actually. Isn't there one in Jersey, like a Great Six Flags, Great America, or something similar?
Great Adventure.
Great Adventure, yeah. So one of those theme parks.
Yeah, the one in New Jersey actually has the King of Ka and the Drop of Kilimanjaro, which are two of like the tallest roller coasters in the world. Pretty crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy. I used to be a big thrill seeker and I love Disneyland. I love roller coasters, but I went to the Six Flags in LA before I moved to New York. And I feel like some of those rides are just extremely aggressive to the point where they're not even fun. It's like they're trying to go for the tallest, the fastest. And you end up like, at least for me, because I'm small, I end up getting beat up because it's like, you know, pushing me around the whole time. So I don't love those big rides, but we'll see how we do on Thursday. All right, Kenny, but stay right there. Let's talk back about sports here and get into my Mox Thought of the day. We told you on Monday to put your money on the Padres before the deadline, and their odds have definitely shifted after yesterday. Not only did they make the biggest move yesterday, they made one of the biggest hauls in MLB history, basically the baseball version of the Herschel Walker trade. Here's the updated odds to win the World Series. Get the Yankees at +360, Dodgers tied at +360, Astros at +430, Mets at +650, and the Padres now at +1,000. They were +2,200 on Monday before the Josh Hader trade, the Braves at +1,100. So who are the biggest winners and losers at the MLB trade deadline? Well, winners, obviously the Padres. We just talked about that. I don't think we need to go into too much more detail there. The Yankees and the Astros, obviously. Soto, he's the first player 23 years or younger to be traded in season, where he's also an all-star. Pretty huge. Of course, they got Bill and Hader as well. So the Padres are looking real pretty right now. And if you listen to us on Monday, hopefully you bought in at the +2,200. Then you got the Yankees. Well, we knew the Yankees needed a pitcher and they got Frankie Montez. And they also got rid of Joey Gallo, who's been the biggest thorn on their side this season, went to the Dodgers. And they also got Harrison Bader, who is expected to return for the postseason, working back from injury there. And they traded away Jordan Montgomery, who's been decent, but I still think they got more than they gave up there. And then, of course, you've got Luis Severino, who's working his way back from injury. That leaves them with six potential starting pitcher options. So I feel like they filled those holes. And then, of course, the Astros, they got Trey Mancini and Christian Vasquez, filled their holes and added some power bats. Losers, unfortunately, the Mets. I'll let Kenny get into that more. He's a big Mets fan. And I also think the Cardinals, you know, they didn't land Juan Soto, which they were a front runner for, and they were kind of holding out for him. So they delayed looking for their much needed aces. So they didn't get Frankie Montez and they also didn't get Luis Castillo. So I think it was a big loss for the Cardinals. And I will let Kenny get into why the Mets are one of the biggest losers here. So let's bring him back now for Capper's Corner.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. All right, Kenny, you heard what I had to say. The biggest winners and losers of the trade deadline, and I left the Mets up to you. So first things first, who's the biggest winner, you think, at the deadline?
So obviously the Padres, right? I think everyone in the world can agree the Padres. You get Josh Hader, who for the last 2-3 seasons has been the best closer in baseball. And then you get Juan Soto, who's 23 years old in the prime of his career. He's compared to this generation's Ted Williams. Yeah. So it's got to be the Padres. But obvious people aside, I mean, the Yankees, they filled much needed holes. They pick up Frankie Montas, who was, you know, one of the two starting pitchers that everyone wanted, him and Luis Castillo. So they get him. They also get Trevino from the Athletics, who is going to help bolster up that bullpen. And then, like you said, you get rid of Joey Gallo, who's been just since they got him, right? Like everyone was, all the Yankee fans, I remember last year, they were so excited when they get Joey Gallo, thinking, you know, the short right field and he's the power. He's going to be a great, great fit in Yankee Stadium. And he's been anything but. The guy strikes out more than he hits the ball. So getting rid of him, huge plus. And then you pick up Andrew Benintendi, another bat, another nice piece in the outfield. So it's got to be the Yankees. And then
Yankees are ready to win right now.
Yeah. And you know what I like about their moves? They usually, like, you know, last season we saw they go get Rizzo, those huge names. Obviously they got the big names in Montas but they also got the nice pieces like the Bader, Benintendi. Like those are nice pieces that are going to fit in, help shore up the defense, strengthen the outfield, just add depth to the whole team. So yeah, they did a really, really good job of just, you know, filling the holes that they needed to.
Losers.
Unfortunately, you know, I sat here a few weeks ago, we were talking about this and I said, the Mets, new owner, Steve Cohen, he's got the big pockets, he's ready to spend, and they do absolutely nothing. We get Vogelback and Michael Givens for the bullpen. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There was so many different avenues we could have gone. And obviously Jacob deGrom comes back. So anytime you can add Jacob deGrom, right? Like they're just looking at that as, wow, we just got a huge addition to the team because DeGrom's back.
Right.
What if DeGrom gets hurt again? The guy can barely stay healthy. So that, as a Mets fan, that doesn't do it for me. I want it more. We heard for the last few weeks how Soto wants to be a Met. The Mets were a front runner at one point to get Juan Soto. So anytime you hear that and then you don't get Juan Soto or anything else, and they got nothing. Yeah. Like Daniel Vogelback, come on. New owner, new team, same old Mets though. Hopefully DeGrom stays healthy and they're able to get it done. I like the team we have, but I do think we needed to add one more piece to take us up to that next level to compete with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely added depth, which is good, but nothing splashy, nothing that's going to make a big mark in October.
Yeah, and then another loser, like the Orioles.
Oh, what are they doing? Yes.
Like, you know, you and I, we were both not high on them a few weeks ago talking about, you know, should we, is this a good time to buy into them? And we both said no. And rightfully so. Look, they, what are they doing? They're having one of their best seasons. They're right in the hunt for a wild card spot to get into the tournament. And, you know, we've seen it. All you have to do is get in. Once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yep.
So you just got to get in. So to go and trade Trey Mancini, they trade Lopez, the closer, who's having a, an amazing year, just doesn't really make sense. You know, I know they got some, you know, future prospects and, you know, they're bolstering up the future. But what about now? Like, as an Orioles fan, you have to be sick to your stomach. Like, what are they doing?
I agree. Especially because they've been so hot this season. So I feel like there was a lot of promise and people were like, hey, we're on this run. Let's see if we can capitalize on it. And the organization said, no, let's just keep things as they are. Moving on now to Aaron Judge and the home run total. So he continues to make a case for the AL MVP. He is currently on pace for 67 home runs, which would not only break the Yankees single season record, but also the AL season single home run record set of 61 by Roger Maris back in 1961. Caesar Sportsbook has Aaron Judge's home run total set to 61 and a half. The over is at plus 100, the under at minus 130. What do you think about Judge? Is he going to break this record? Are you taking this over? Do you like the under?
So as just a fan and someone watching the game, I'm going to go over here.
Yes. Yes.
It is odd to me as someone who, you know, usually goes off of the lines. It is odd to me that the over is at even money. You would think he's a Yankee, Aaron Judge. Everyone's probably hammering the over. You would think the over would be juiced.
True.
But the guy's on absolute fire, right? He bet on himself, turned down the contract that the Yankees gave him, which now is a disrespectful offer. And the guy's been an absolute stud this year. It seems like he's hitting at least one home run every game.
Yep.
So what has he got, 14 to go to hit the over here? So yeah, how do you not take that?
I agree 100%. And you're right. As a fan, how do you take the under on this? You got to root for someone breaking this kind of record. His career high is 52. That was his rookie season. He's at 43 now, already surpassing last year that was at 39. ESPN, as we said, projects that he'll get about 65 this season, maybe 67. He had five home runs in his last five games. Just like you said, he's hitting a home run almost every single game, 13 home runs in his last 16 games. And an interesting fact that I learned today too, he has homered against 17 of 18 opponents faced this season. The only team that he has not hit a home run against this season, and he's had three games against them, is Texas, the Rangers, which I find interesting. So he's definitely due for a home run there. But yeah, at plus 100, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take the under on this one. I love it. Let's go. Let's go, Judge.
Yeah, he's, it's almost, this is what we all expected Aaron Judge to be, right? Like we saw him his rookie year, put up the 52 home run spot, and then he's kind of tailed off the last few seasons. He's been good, but he hasn't been this good.
Yeah.
When I think of Aaron Judge, this is who I'm thinking, and he's very scary to face. So yeah, you got to go over.
Gotta go over. Okay, let's switch gears here. Talk a little bit NFL. Deshaun Watson received a 6-game suspension on Monday for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Both sides have until 9 a.m. tomorrow to submit an appeal. Many feel like this is a short suspension given the situation, especially when it is compared to other notable suspensions. Something that comes to mind is the Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Obviously, we're gamblers here. Full season suspension for gambling on his team to win, which, let's be fair, that was actually really bad. Here are some other recent notable suspensions. Martavius Bryant he got indefinitely for marijuana substance abuse, which I'm not sure that marijuana actually enhances any athlete's abilities, but I don't know. Josh Gordon had the same suspension. You got Darren Waller, 16 games for substance abuse. We got DeAndre Hopkins, 6 games for PED. And of course, Deshaun Watson, 6 games personal conduct policy with 25 accusations. So we talked about it a little bit on Monday show. And at first I was thinking, oh, this 6-game suspension is really low when you think about the accusations against him and how many people he has settled with, which to a certain extent is admission of guilt. But then when I looked back at all of the other suspensions, you got Ray Rice in 2014. Of course, we all saw that horrific elevator incident that happened. You got Adrian Peterson, who was actually indicted on a felony for child abuse. Of course, that was dropped down to a misdemeanor for reckless assault, again, against a child. You got Ezekiel Elliott, who had repeated violence against a woman. And I don't even want to get into Tyree Hill. Most of those only got 6 suspensions. So for me, it seems to be that things that affect the actual game, like gambling on your team and or any kind of substance abuse, that is what's going to get you the larger suspensions. It seems like personal conduct, no matter how disgusting that personal conduct is, just really doesn't result in a big suspension. It seems to be just about 6 games. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, the Calvin Ridley one is mind-boggling to me. Yes. I know he was betting on his team, but the guy wasn't even playing. So,
but he still has insider information about his team that other people don't know. It still is pretty, I mean, I don't know about a full year, but it's bad.
Right, but okay, so let me ask you this. Yeah. The Dolphins owner, how is he not forced to sell the team? Right. He offered the coach $100,000 to tank the game.
You're right. You're right. I agree with you. But I mean, it's hard to attack the billionaires.
No, of course. But when you're just a fan, like a outside looking in, you're going, how does that make any sense? Yeah. You suspend the player who had literally zero impact of what's going on in the field, sitting home, putting a couple parlays in on the Falcons to win. And then you got the owner who's legit throwing down 6 figures to the coach to throw the games. I think the Calvin Ridley one is a little egregious.
I do.
I think if you're going to suspend the guy, give him 6 games, right? Yep. And the Deshaun Watson one, it's tough because we don't really know what happened. We don't know how it played out.
True.
He didn't get charged in court because he settled. So, you know, usually as people who are watching from the outside, when someone settles, you're instant reaction is, all right, he's guilty.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not. I don't know. I wasn't in the massage parlor while he was getting
and thank God for that, Kenny.
yeah, thank God, right? Yeah. But he missed all of last year. You got to suspend the guy for something. So 6 games, at least he got something.
I, of course, was hoping for more on this. But again, when I look back at the history of this kind of conduct, it's about 6 games. This is on par with what the NFL gives these players. So not exactly entirely surprised here, but it's interesting how it's going to play out. We're going to now get into the AFC North, which, of course, Deshaun Watson plays a big role in this. So let's start with who's going to win the AFC North. So generally, it's a toss-up year after year. The current odds to win the division right now are the Ravens at +160. Bengals at +200, the Browns at +250, Steelers +1,000. Who are you going to take to win the AFC North?
So I'm actually going to bet this one pretty large myself.
Wow.
I think this is an absolute gift. The Ravens at +160 to win the division is insane to me. We look at what happened to them last year with, they had a historic season for the amount of injuries that they had and the type of injuries. They lost, you know, multiple starters on the defensive side for the whole season. Yeah. They lose their running back for the whole season. They lose Lamar Jackson. When he went down, they were the number 2 seed in the AFC, I believe. Yeah. At one point, they were the best team in the AFC. So, you know, you get Lamar Jackson back. You get all of those pieces on defense back. You get J.K. Dobbins back, who should be healthy this year. So how do you not take the Ravens here? Like, they are, in my opinion, they are the best team in that division, bar none. I know the Bengals looked great last year, but typically we see teams, you know, kind of have that Super Bowl hangover.
Yep.
They are a very young team, the Bengals. Is Joe Burrow going to repeat what he did last year? I don't know. The funny thing is here is when we talked about who we liked for NFL MVP, my 2 choices were Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. After that show, I was sitting there really looking over the numbers going, Lamar Jackson can easily win this award. So I don't know if I've talked myself into it too much, but I'm all in on the Ravens this year. I love Lamar Jackson for MVP. He's on his rookie contract. He's seeing Kyler Murray get paid. He's better than Kyler Murray. Why isn't he getting paid? So he's on the rookie contract. He's got something to prove. They're healthier than they were last year. So I love Lamar for MVP, Ravens to win the division. I even think the Ravens get to the Super Bowl. Call me crazy.
Well, I'm not going to call you crazy because the Ravens are actually my sleeper pick to get to the Super Bowl. But I don't necessarily think they're going to win the division. I think it's going to be the Bengals again to repeat. They got most of their starters back. That Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase connection is just out of this world. And of course, you have to expect that to get even stronger. Now, Joe Burrow was sacked a record, I think, 51 times last season. The Bengals have finally addressed the issues on the O-line. I just can't really count Joe Burrow out. When I was looking at their schedule, it it's pretty tough in the back end, but I think they can still squeak out those wins. And I love the story for the Ravens. And again, I can see them at the Super Bowl, but they kind of remind me of the 2021 Niners. Of course, I'm going to bring this back to the Niners, but 2020, we were decimated with injuries. Same thing, had kind of a rough season and then came back, but started off a little slow. It takes a while for those things to kind of pick up, ended up having a strong second half to the season and making it all the way to the NFC Championship game. So I'm not counting these Ravens out, but in terms of wins, I think they might struggle a little bit in the beginning while they find their bearings again.
Well, luckily for the Ravens, they open up with the Jets.
Yeah, so. Well, the first game is a given. First game is a gift to them. So that's good. Okay, so let's move on to some win totals here. Let's talk about your Ravens. So they're right now set at 9.5, which is pretty high. The over's at minus 145 or the under at plus 125. Obviously, you're going to take the over here if you'd like them to win the division.
Yeah, I like the over here for all the reasons I just touched on. I think they have the 11th easiest strength of schedule, projected strength of schedule for this season. Yeah. So, you get all the star power back. The schedule is not that difficult. They get the Steelers early on with the rookie quarterbacks. So, yeah, I think the Ravens easily go over that. Looking at their schedule, I think they hit around 11 wins.
Yeah, it's so interesting because they have the Bengals and the Ravens both set to 9.5. Those are both our picks to win the division here. I actually do think that the Ravens are going to go over as well. When I looked at their schedule, I find 10 wins there. Again, I think they start off a little slow, except for the Jets, of course, but that would be a wild upset to start the season. But I do like them over this, especially. I mean, at the 145, I don't think, I'm not laying this. You aren't probably either, you're going to take them to win the division. But I do think that they're going to get over the 9.5. Moving on to the Bengals, also set to 9.5. The over at minus 135 and the under at plus 115. You don't seem to be too hot on the Bengals coming up this season, which you probably weren't last season, and I wasn't either. So you like the over or the under here?
Yeah, I definitely was not hot on the Bengals, at least to start last season. Once I saw what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase were doing, then I quickly got on board. But I like the under here. And, you talked about it earlier, how that back end of the schedule is pretty tough. Yeah. So when I was going through, I was being pretty lenient with them getting some wins, over some teams. So I think they hit right at 9 wins. I wouldn't be surprised if they go over, but I think they're going to hit right around that 9-10 win mark. So I would lean under here.
Yeah, I think they're going to get around the 10 mark as well. So I'm going to lean over on this one. Of course, I think that they're going to win the division. So I'm going to take the over there. It is a little concerning. They have the 6th hardest strength of schedule in the NFL. I talked about that back half for them. The final 8 games, they're going against the Steelers, the Titans, the Chiefs, the Browns, the Buccaneers, the Patriots, the Bills, and the Ravens. Like, yikes, that's going to be tough. But again, no one expected them to do what they did last season. They've addressed the issues on the O-line. I don't think he's going to be sacked a record 51 or now 52 times. So I want to see Joe Burrow smoking the cigar. It's one of my favorite things every season, or just last season. And then, of course, when he won the college championship. So got to root for it.
So let me ask you a question real quick. So I was reading earlier today, actually, the Ravens are expected to get, still sign a veteran wide receiver. Odell is still out there on the free agent market.
That would be.
If the Ravens were to add an Odell, what do you think that does?
Oh, the Ravens to add an Odell? Oh yeah, then I like the Ravens here. I mean, that would just be dynamite. I will say though that when I was looking up Lamar Jackson, and it's hard to say he's underrated. I still think there's that stigma around him where he can't win big games. He's got he's last year of his rookie contract. Maybe he's going to have like an Aaron Judge type of season, and just be spectacular in order to get that big money. But his PFF rating, according to Pro Football Focus, rushing grade declined in consecutive seasons. He's broken fewer tackles each year. But if they add more pieces to the offense for him, he hasn't been known for a good throwing arm, but I definitely think that's improved in the last couple of years. So maybe defenses have started to figure out his rushing attack, but if he can get a stronger arm and get people like Odell, I like it.
Yeah. And when you look at those rushing numbers, they probably have declined a little bit, but they've declined to where it's still better than most quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, right?
True.
Like 2019, he breaks the rushing record for most yards by a quarterback. So in 2020, 2021, if he's not breaking the record, then his numbers would decline, right? So that could be the reason.
Yeah, good point. I also think that you can only be that spectacular for one season. Defenses are going to start to figure you out. And I think that's happened to a little bit, to a certain extent, but I agree with you. It's still better than almost any quarterback of all time. So I will agree. So let's talk about the Browns here and Deshaun Watson with his 6-game suspension. They're listed a hefty 9.5 wins as well. It's so interesting. A lot of these really, really high win totals for the AFC North here. So you taking the over? It's at +110, or you like the under at -130?
This one's hard because no Deshaun Watson for 6 games. And you think, oh, okay, well, those 6 games, they're screwed. But they still have Jacoby Brissett, who's a serviceable backup.
Yes.
You know, he's not a star, but he can get the job done. We've seen him win in the NFL. And they have that rushing game to help back him up. When you look at who they open up with, they got the Panthers, the Jets, the Steelers, Falcons. So they get the Steelers in week 3 with either Trubisky learning a new playbook or a rookie quarterback. The Panthers, Jets, Falcons, they could easily open up 4-0 here, and you're almost halfway to that 9.5. Gun to my head, I would probably go under, though.
I'm going to go under on this one, too, and this is a lean. I don't think it's something that I'm going to place a bet on. Like you said, you got Brissett. He's 14-23 record all-time as a starter. Their first 6 games, they've got 3 kind of easier ones and then 4 tough ones, but they are more of a run-heavy offense, and I definitely think, like you said, he's serviceable. He could probably get those done. My biggest question mark is actually Deshaun Watson here. Like you said earlier, he didn't play at all last season. We haven't really seen a lot from him. Also, if you think about when Tiger Woods got caught being a little creepy and then he came back and he wasn't very good for a while. And so I don't really know how Deshaun Watson is going to play under the level of pressure that he's under right now, because before that he was kind of squeaky clean. Everyone thought he was an all-American guy, and now he's kind of labeled as a creep. So we'll see how he plays under that limelight.
I love that. Creepy Deshaun. I think, because I was thinking as I was looking over this, I kind of forgot how good Deshaun Watson was, though. You know what I mean? Because we didn't see him all last year. I think people are forgetting just how good he really is, because he was doing things on that Texans team, even after DeAndre Hopkins left, that you put most guys in on that team and they're not doing a damn thing.
True.
So he's got a ton of talent, right? When we heard when he got drafted, what Dabo Sweeney said, he's the Michael Jordan of the NFL. So I don't know. I'm curious. It's creepy Deshaun, though, so I don't want to part
exactly.
of it.
And again, how talented was Tiger Woods? And then when you go from being that golden child to kind of being an underbelly of society, I feel like it does play a mental trick on you. So we'll see just how good he is. So I'm not willing to put money on their over, but I am interested to see what happens. But now we'll look to the, the redheaded stepchild of the AFC North here. With the Steelers, they have the lowest win total at 7.5. Everyone else at 9.5. The over is at +115, and the under is at -135. You liking this over or under for the Steelers?
This one's tough. My gut, I want to say over. Tomlin has never had a losing season as a head coach. In my opinion, he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL. I may put him at 2 or 3 behind Bill Belichick and Sean McVay. The defense is elite. You know, they add some pieces to the offense. Najee Harris, you know, he's not wearing a visor this year because he wants to look people in the eye when he hits them. But then you got Mitchell Trubisky or
Kenny Pickett.
And Kenny Pickett, and there's a huge question mark. So it's tough. I would lean under here because you look at their projected strength of schedule. I think they have the 29th toughest strength of schedule. So I would have to go under.
Yeah, I'm going to lean under on this one too at -135. Like you said, Mike Tomlin is one of the most winning coaches of all time, considering since he's been there at least consecutively, 15 consecutive winning seasons, has not lost. But you look at last year when they were 9-7. I'm sorry, that was a joke. They got lucky in so many games. They were outplayed like you wouldn't believe. It ended up being one possession games. They tied with, who was it, the Jags? Who did they tie with? Was it the Jags? It was just like, they shouldn't have been 9-7 last year. That was a joke to me. And you got Trubisky and you got Kenny Pickett. We don't know what they're going to look like. I think this might be his first losing season for Tomlin. So I'm going to lean on the under on this one as well. But at the same point, I wouldn't be surprised if he squeaks it out again, because he has not lost since he's been a head coach for the Steelers.
Yeah, and last year I was big on the Steelers to make the playoffs, and a lot of people called me crazy in the beginning of the year.
They did not deserve to be there, Kenny. They did not deserve to be there. But you cashed, and I'm happy for you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. All right, the time has come to get into Mox Locks. Kenny and I will give you our best bets for the MLB slate tonight. I looked at the board, Kenny, and I didn't love anything, so I'm going prop bets today. I'm looking at Sandy Alcantara over 7.5 strikeouts is at plus 106. And yes, this is a very high number, but he is the best pitcher in the NL game this season, allowing a 0.193 average against while striking out 24%. He averaged 8.2 strikeouts per game through July. He had a crazy July, and he has struck out at least 10 in three of his last five games. The Reds projected lineup has only struck out about 25% of the time against righties. I feel like it's a good spot for him to get over this 7.5.
Yeah, and I believe he's coming off a less than stellar start his last time out.
Yes.
So anytime I see one of these aces have like a bad game, you can almost always bank on them to come back that next game and pitch a gem. So I like that a lot.
All right, next up, I'm looking at Francisco Lindor to hit a home run. This is a long shot at plus 350. He has been hot. He's had three home runs in his last four games, back-to-back home runs since the start of August. And he's up against Anibal Sanchez. He allowed five home runs in just three starts. Lindor has 14 home runs against righties this season. It's a fun one to sprinkle on. I think he gets a home run today. What are you liking tonight?
I'm praying he hits a home run. I actually took Lindor for MVP before the season started, and he got off to a little bit of a shaky start, and since then he's dropped in the odds. But he, like you said, he's heating up, and you know, if he plays like an integral part of the Mets really securing up that division, like if he gets hot in August, he could easily climb back up to the top. So I would love for a Lindor home run.
Let's go. All right, what are you on tonight?
So staying in that game, I'm looking at the Nationals +2.5. Ooh. You can find it at -125 on Caesars Sportsbook. I just think the number is too high. 2.5. We saw the Nationals. Yeah. They beat the Mets yesterday. Talked about how the Mets should have added some reliever depth to that bullpen. They didn't really do that. And look what happened last night. DeGrom exits the game, giving up one run. Sixth inning, Mets bullpen implodes. 2.5 at -125 is a huge cushion for me. I kind of like the Nationals on the money line as well.
Okay.
You look at who the Mets have coming up over the weekend. They have a 5-game series against the Braves, which could be a determining factor in who wins that division. So I think we catch a spot where the Mets get caught looking ahead here, maybe come out a little sluggish, and 2.5. How do you not like that on the Nationals?
How do you not like that? Especially because the run line is usually about 1.5. So to see this bubbled up to 2.5 at -125, I agree with you. There's some good value there. What is your next bet?
So next one, we're staying with the stay with the underdogs. Last week, I don't know if you remember when I said, you know, when you're taking underdogs, you want to take the ugly, nasty, gross underdogs that no one wants to bet.
The English Bulldogs.
yes. And that's what we're doing today. We're going with the Nats and we're going with the Rockies. One thing that stood out to me here. So that Nationals alternate line at +2.5 is -125, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the Rockies alternate line +2.5, that's juiced to -160. Mm. The Rockies are a much bigger underdog today. Why is that? So I'm going to go Rockies +1.5. It's plus money. I think it's +140 on Caesars Sportsbook. They're playing the Padres. They just dropped three in a row to them. Obviously, all the hype around the Padres, they get Hader, they get Soto, everyone, all the news around them. And I think you're getting an inflated price here. The Rockies are the number one team in the MLB in regards to batting average versus left-handed pitching. and they're number four in baseball in regards to OPS versus left-handed pitching. Today, Blake Snell on the mound looked good his last time out, but he has over a 4 ERA at home. He has been a shell of himself since he left the Tampa Bay Rays. So I think the Rockies, you're getting a ton of value. Wouldn't be surprised if they win, but +1.5 at +140, I think you got to lock that in.
I agree with you, but wait, one quick question. When you took the Nationals, is that an alternate line or that is the run line plus the 2.5?
That's an alternate line. Yeah, it's 2.5.
Okay, got it. So first I was like, wow, you never really see a 2.5, but that makes more sense. And all right, the ugliest dog on the board today, probably the Rockies. So according to your mantra, that's the one that we got to bet here, +140. All right, to recap, we are taking today Sandy Alcantara over 7.5 strikeouts at +106. Francisco Lindor to hit a home run at +350. Kenny's on the Nationals alternate line +2.5 at -125. And the Rockies on the run line +1.5 at +140. Kenny, thank you so much for joining the show today. We will see you again next Wednesday. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook, and we'll be back on Friday.